Welcome back. We'll get right at it with Don Luce because there is so much to discuss. Mr. Luce, Don Luce of Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. He is our monthly contributor on the law. And he is also quite an author, of two very popular books. I don't know how he finds the time to do his writing on the side, but he has and does. Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, that in its second printing. Then another one, the other book just went to second printing fairly recently, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
And whenever I think of the year closing out, Dr. Levy was talking on the air about the winter sky constellation starting to show up. Estate planning really has to move to the forefront as a kind of a year-end thing to think about.
Well, if it's not done before the end of the year, it always finds its way to the January 1st to-do list.
To the first burner of January. Yeah, push to the back burner and then back to the front. All right, Don, what's going on now with the mask mandate? This went to the Arizona Supreme Court in record time.
Racetrack time.
Yeah.
So here's what's happening. A Maricopa County Superior Court judge on September 27th, which was 2 days before the law that is at issue was set to take effect, said that the legislature did not follow the Arizona Constitution in the way it enacted the statute that prohibited public school districts from requiring students to wear a mask. The judge said that the reason the law was invalid is because the bill to which it was attached didn't have an explanation as to what that provision provided for. And the Arizona Constitution does require that the title of a bill has to fairly inform the public as to what's in the statute.
This looked like a tack on to them, I guess.
More than that, there were all kinds of things in this so-called budget reconciliation bill
that were added.
The mask mandate prohibition was one, but there were also restrictions on how schools can teach about race and gender. There were provisions authorizing lawsuits against public employees for conduct relating to public schools, and then making it illegal for school boards to require students and staff to wear a mask, which is sort of the headline portion of this challenge. But the trial court judge said, hey, all of these are unenforceable because the Arizona Constitution was not followed. So what would normally happen, the party who loses at the trial court would have the right to ask the Court of Appeals to review the trial judge's decision to ensure that it was proper. In this case, no. In this case, the Supreme Court said, we're going to accept jurisdiction to hear this matter, and we're not going to follow the usual timeline. Rather, we're going to accelerate the matter. The hearing is set for November 2nd, mm-hmm. which is about a month after the trial court ruling, mm-hmm. and that's never done in, 99% of the cases. We're going to bypass the Court of Appeals. We're going to fast-track it. The state's brief is due October 5th. The appellee's brief is due October 15th. We're going to hear oral argument on November 2nd, and we're going to have a decision before the legislature reconvenes in January.
Wow.
It's incredible.
That
but
is.
Anyway,
yeah.
I think it is a matter that is of great public importance. The interesting thing from a lawyer's perspective or from a legal analysis, however, is that if the court finds that the legislature, in fact, did not properly enact this law, this is going to affect the way the legislature passes laws on most everything on a go-forward basis, because this log rolling, as they call it, where you put in a bunch of stuff that seemingly has nothing to do with mm-hmm. one another.
Which has been common practice forever.
Exactly.
So this is going to be wholly revisited, probably.
Potentially?
Potentially. Yeah.
So anyway, that's what's going on.
All right. Now, the new laws, let's talk about some of the marquee ones. We've got gambling at sports facilities. What's that about?
Well, this
First
new
of
law,
all, we should point out, set this up, there were dozens of new laws that took effect on October 1st. And why October 1st, Don Luce?
Because that was, it was actually September 29th, but that was General Effective Day.
General Effective
not,
Day.
Not Halloween, no. Not President's Day, but in Arizona, General Effective Day. And that was 90 days after the adjournment of the last legislative session.
Gotcha.
The way our system works in Arizona is that once the governor signs a bill, it generally speaking, unless there's an acceleration clause or some other date provided for in the bill itself, it takes effect 90 days after the adjournment of the legislative session. September 29th was that date. Now, interesting, and we talk about this every year, about the hundreds of bills that actually make it into the law books. This past legislative session produced 445 bills that Governor Ducey signed into law. 445.
Oh,
so anybody who still gets the laws in hard copy is going to have to expand his or her library because we have 445 new ones to be included.
Sounds like you may have to get ready for your third edition of Arizona Laws 101. What's going on with professional sports teams and tribal casinos and betting?
All right. So this provision, which took effect September 29th, is expected to raise more than $30 million a year in new revenue. The law will allow licenses to be awarded to the state's professional sports teams and tribal casinos and allowing them to have kiosks on site. So there you go. It's easy to bet. And if you have a favorite team, you can even do it online.
But you could bet right at the facility of the sports at the stadium.
Yeah, through a kiosk, betting kiosk.
What are some of the other ones that we should point out, some of the ones that will affect a lot of people?
All right. So you and I have had discussions about potential lawsuits and liability with respect to employers whose employees become sick because of COVID.
Right.
There is now a law on the books that took effect September 29th that essentially set the bar so high that it is going to be impossible for many people to even get into the courthouse if they want to make a claim against their employer saying that they got sick because of their employer's negligence or misconduct. Here's what the law says. The standard is that a claimant must prove by clear and convincing evidence. Okay, so this is a higher standard than a preponderance, which is most other civil lawsuits. By clear and convincing evidence that there was either intentional misconduct or gross negligence. Now, intentional misconduct, I think we all have a basic understanding as to what that involves. Gross negligence is a concept that means it cannot be mere negligence on the part of the person you're suing. In other words, negligence is the failure to use ordinary care. Gross negligence is more than that. It's almost a disregard of a known risk. So a claimant who wants to bring a claim against a business or a nonprofit or a church has to, as I mentioned, prove by clear and convincing evidence that there was either intentional misconduct or gross negligence. I would submit to you that with that standard, you are not going to find many verdicts in favor of plaintiffs on claims relating to COVID. So that's known generally as COVID liability protection law, and it is now on the books.
So these people who will claim that they got COVID at a business or at the workplace, it's going to be very, very hard to have that stand up in court, right? Or even get to court.
Absolutely. Well, anybody can get to court.
Okay,
but
get
to stay
court.
In court.
To stay in court.
Exactly.
Anybody can get to court, exactly. All right, what else?
How about community colleges being able to offer four-year degrees?
That's a huge one.
Now, the the concept of a community college traditionally has been that they offer two-year degrees.
Yep.
And if you want a four-year degree, you go to a state university. That's changing. Under the new law, community colleges can offer four-year degrees for certain programs, and that is being worked on as we speak by community colleges around the state. So it won't be unusual in the years coming to be able to get a four-year degree at a community college.
Good for them, I say. That's great. All right, let's hit a couple other ones real quick.
How about off-site alcohol sales? Call your favorite delivery company, and they potentially would be able to deliver to your home liquor from your favorite restaurant or food venue. So we've heard stories about people who love the margarita that the local restaurant makes.
Right.
Under this new law, they can buy it from the local restaurant, and it can be delivered to their home. How easy can that be?
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be delivered necessarily, and the restaurants would love you to have food delivered with it, but it can be delivered as is, I guess. Is that what I'm hearing? I think I've stumped you.
I think you did. I'm going to pass on that one.
All right.
How about...
Bring over a pitcher of margaritas. I need a pitcher of margaritas, and that's it.
How about gun shops being considered essential businesses?
Okay.
Now, we knew during the pandemic that there were certain businesses that were deemed essential, right? Mm-hmm. We knew what they were. Mm-hmm. Gun shops have been added to the list. So during an emergency, any place that sells guns or ammunition can legally stay open. I found that interesting because the pandemic resulted in an emergency declaration from the governor, but that has expired. So anyway, but this law took effect September 29th with the others.
All right, Don, we are out of time. Don Luce, Attorney Don Luce with Luce Law Group, offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Check out his two books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both in their second printing. Thanks very much, Don. A lot of good information today.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, that'll wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Attorney Don Luce and John Couch, engineering and producing our program, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.